Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Another Shanghai slump.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Back in February, when China's stock market plummeted, there was a ripple effect in markets around the world. Last week, when Chinese stocks fell, Europe felt the impact initially, but there was barely a ripple on Wall Street. This morning, stocks in Shanghai slid more than 8%, but this time, not even other Asian markets have been affected. Some have actually risen, as in Tokyo, where the Nikkei gained 14 points. Today's drop in Shanghai triggered by concerns the government is preparing more steps to try and cool down the nation's rapid economic growth. Wall Street ended the week strongly on Friday. The Dow added 40 points to 13,668. The Nasdaq gained 9 points and will open today at 2613. And the S&P will start the day at 1536. Virgin Atlantic is going after a different type of passenger. The Times of London says Virgin will offer business-only service between the U.S. and continental Europe. Virgin is mulling a $700 million order for a new business-only aircraft. America's most successful organic grocery chain is trying to take a bite out of the British market for natural foods. Whole Foods is about to open a major new store in London. Stephen Beard has the story.
Britain has never seen anything like this before. Whole Foods is moving into a former department store in the affluent London district of Kensington. There's 80,000 square feet of space, three whole floors piled high with what the company calls guilt-free produce. No pesticides, preservatives, sweeteners or animal cruelty involved. But it's only the size and scale of this operation that's unique in Britain. Organic food is already widely available here, says analyst Robert Clark. Whole Foods will face stiff competition from Britain's major supermarket chains.
They have all got organic ranges that they've been expanding. They're all heavily into the marketplace. They've all got premium lines as well. So I think it's a pretty crowded market.
But Whole Foods says that its Kensington superstore will be a mecca for British health food enthusiasts, and it's planning a further 30 to 40 stores around the UK. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, we've known it was coming. Now we know when it will arrive. Apple's iPhone will go on sale in the U.S. June 29th. The phone will eventually be sold in Europe and Japan, but no dates have been announced. The price tag will be between $500 and $600, depending upon the amount of memory you choose. Worldwide, cell phone sales are at $1 billion a year, and Apple is hoping to grab 1% or 10 million phone sales in 2008.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. The Marketplace Health Desk is supported by the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation working toward a high-performance health system. On the web at commonwealthfund.org.
Last night, Democratic presidential candidates faced off in their second debate. Tonight, three of the leading Democratic candidates will discuss the needs of a group that makes the least number of campaign contributions, the poor. John Edwards and Senators Clinton and Obama will speak about poverty for a conference of Christian activists called Pentecost 2007. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
The four-day event focuses on lobbying local and national politicians to make fighting poverty a higher priority. In addition to tonight's discussion by leading Democrats, spokesman Adam Taylor expects another debate in the months ahead featuring Republicans.
Overcoming poverty has to become a nonpartisan cause and a bipartisan commitment. And they were trying to get both political parties to really prioritize a set of commitments to overcome poverty.
Taylor says his group of Christian activists have set some concrete and measurable goals.
Cutting in half the number of Americans that are living in poverty over 10 years.
The group also wants politicians to make good on pledges to wipe clean the foreign debts of the world's poorest countries. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
The presidential election is still 16 months away, yet candidates have raised more than $150 million. There are predictions that the eventual nominees will need to raise $500 million apiece to compete, and that's a record. It costs a lot of money to raise political donations. John Dimsdale reports from Washington that so far, Republican candidates are spending more to raise less than Democrats.
During the first 3 months of 2007, Republican Senator John McCain's presidential campaign spent nearly $1.5 million on fundraising activities. Donor parties and dinners, mailings, websites, consultants. His take during the same period was $13 million.
John McCain is spending about 11 cents on the dollar to raise money.
Massey Rich at the Center for Responsive Politics compiled the numbers.
That confirms some of the things that we've been hearing about his campaign, that he didn't bring in as much money as people thought he would, and that he had a pretty expensive operation to do it. He had a lot of consultants, a lot of holdover from his 2000 campaign and his Senate campaigns, and that was weighing him down.
In fact, GOP presidential candidates Romney, Thompson, Brownback, Huckabee, and Giuliani all spent a higher percentage of their income on fundraising than Democrats Edwards, Obama, Richardson, and Clinton. All four Democrats spent less than 2.5 cents for each dollar they raised. Morgan Felchner, the editor of Campaigns and Elections magazine, says the difference is due in part to Republican campaigns hanging on to a fundraising technique that in the past has given them an edge.
Republicans are traditionally known for their direct mail fundraising, and they're kind of slow to abandon the tried and true method, which is one of the more expensive types of fundraising. Democrats never really did, catch up in terms of direct mail. So now the Democrats are kind of filling in the gap with the online fundraising, which is definitely cheaper.
And Felchner finds some evidence that the Democrats' message is more in sync with web surfers. Massey Rich says that translates into added costs for Republicans.
If you feel like your target voter is not really on the internet, you're going to have to spend a lot more money on fundraising because you've got to print out those envelopes, you've got to print out those letters, you've got to put them in the mail, put a stamp on them.
Rich expects online fundraising to eventually slash the cost of attracting campaign donations to a fraction of a cent for every dollar raised. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.